A little note on Tisa is that there is no little message from me. All the messages are immeasurable and important and not cannot be measured. So when you speak in the introductions, maybe best not to say it's little or big, because to someone it may change their life.
I realized that I said little, Shanti Mai, but thank
you. I know you said it before too, but it's fine. Anyhow, let us begin the satsang.
Okay.
I think it's important though, because there's something about, and let us not reflect on you. Let us reflect on the words. There's something about receptivity, listening, and a kind of cosmic timing, which we cannot predict, that really is immeasurable. And I feel every word that I speak to you is of great importance, whether it's heard or not, whether it's criticized or not, whether it's analyzed or not. I know the importance of these words, and going beyond them and activating them in the heart of people who are sincere and willing to wake up. Om Shri Satche Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Paramatma Ki Jai. Gurudev Bhagwan Ki Jai. Satcha Sangha Ki Jai. Victory. The other day I was sent a passage out of the Ashtavakra Gita. And just to give you a little background, Ashtavakra was the 8-year-old guru of King Janak. King Janak was a great sovereign Mahatma, means great soul. Maha means great, Atma means soul. It's completely and totally translated word for word. And King Janak, I'll tell the story of King Janak, then I will tell the story here. Do we have some problem? Because I'm getting contacted on Skype. Maybe I wait for a second. Can you hear me?
Yes, all is fine.
Okay, somebody's contacting me on Skype, and okay. So the story of King Janak is a really wonderful story, and it's an historical story, it is said. Mm-hmm. I wasn't there, so I really can't say. The story is that King Janak, he was, you know, he had like everything. Lots and lots of land, lots of gold, big castles. And he also had an incredibly wise heart. He was a great sovereign king. And he was laying back in his riches. He could be a great sovereign king in his riches. He didn't have to. There's a story about Janak also. About a man who comes clad in almost nothing, telling Janak that he's a fake. And Janak sets half of the palace on fire. And And the guy who's dressed in sadhu's clothes goes crazy. And Janak says, let it go. This is another story. But this story here is about Ashtavakra, and I'm going to read you a passage in the Ashtavakra Gita, and then I'm going to offer you my insight, because you have your own. And I will show you how important words are as directives. As directives means make them active. So King Janaki, he was laying back in his bed, and his servants were fanning him with big banana leaves, and he was falling asleep. And he dreamed that he was at war, and that the neighboring king was pushing in on his land. And then he woke up, and he was being fanned by his servants. And he fell back asleep, and the war went on. The war went on, and Janik found himself in a cornfield, frightened out of his mind that he was going to lose everything for the people, because Janik didn't really mind if he lost everything or not. But for the people, their land, their farms, their homes, their culture. And then Janik woke up, and he was being fanned by his servants. And Janik, brilliant as he was, he asked the question, what the heck? When I'm sleeping, I'm having one experience. When I'm waking, I have another experience. So he drew all of the really bright-minded pundits and philosophers and astrologers together, and he says, I want an answer. And he gave him some time, and nobody could answer him. So he threw them all in jail. Mm-hmm. That's what he did. And this little boy, his name was Ashtavakra. He was with his mom, and he says, where's dad? By the way, Ashtavakra, just to go off here for a second, another little introduction. Ashtavakra, in the womb, he corrected his father's Sanskrit. And his father said, you will be bent in eight places in your body. Ashtavakra means bent in eight places. So he was born really, with a really hard body, bent in eight places. Now we get back to the king. So Ashtavakra's at home, and he asks his mother, where's father? And mother says, well, father's in jail. And Ashtavakra, he is really surprised, to say the least. He says, what's my father doing in jail? And he says, well, King Janik had a question, and no one could answer it, so he put everybody in jail until they could answer it. And Ashtavakra says, well, what's the question? And he said, King Janik wants to know what's real, the dream state or the waking state. Ashtavakra said, I can answer that. That's not a problem. I'll get dad out of jail. So Ashtavakra goes to the castle, and he's walking like really hard, because that's how he walks. His body's bent in eight places. His father cursed him for being right. So he goes to the castle and to the palace, and he knocks on the door. And the guard comes, and he says, yes, what do you want? And he says, well, I can answer the king's question. And they just laughed at him. And he says, let me in. And he came in, and he's walking down the hall like this. And he comes to King Janik's throne, and he sits on his throne. And Janik comes out, and he's very entertained by this little boy. He's 8 years old. 8 years, eight bends. And he's Ashtavakra said, well, I can answer your question. He said, oh, good. What's the answer? And he said, neither are real. And Jonik said, that's 100% accurate. Neither are real. Mm-hmm. Ashtavakra's father was let out of jail. And Ashtavakra, the 8-year-old, became the master of the great king, the spiritual guide. Mm-hmm. I will read something to you, not something, it's a passage to you that was sent to me out of the Ashtavakra Gita. Ashtavakra means bent in 8 places, and Gita means song. And it's very much what our Sangha is immersed in, is it's the light that gets you past body identity, ideas, and so like that. It's called my own splendor. Splendor means extraordinariness, light, beauty. Let's see what the dictionary says about splendor. Magnificence. Fineness. Glory. Beauty, elegance, majesty, stateliness, nobility. My own splendor. And this is, if my master has in imbued, injected, offered anything to my heart, it's that you will sit and be in your own splendor. People look really uncomfortable here. And this is a problem, really. And it needs to be plucked away. It needs to be pushed away, this idea that it's not me. Because when you discover your self nature, you will only find splendor in yourself and in all beings and in creation and beyond. So why is it so hard for people to understand that they are a unique creation, never to be repeated, ever? Ever. No needle on a forest full of pine trees throughout forever are the same. There is nothing ever the same. We have a commonness. We breathe, right? We sleep. Huh? We have humans have 2 legs, 2 arms, 2 eyes, 1 mouth, a nose. We have a commonness. We have a life, we have a morning, we have an evening, and then we have an incredible uniqueness, which no one is the same. And both of those qualities are interrelated like this, inseparable. In my heart of hearts, whatever that may mean to you, I speak poetically, to touch you in the right place. In my heart of hearts, my master has poured into my being a very clear desire that you will wake up. And you are awakening. Remember the great Zen master Chnul says, once you put your foot on the path, you've already had an awakening. So you're not asleep. But one day you will, we say own, I don't know another word, you will own your true nature, you will not be worried about ego to say that you are magnificent, because it's not only that you are magnificent, it's that all of creation is in fact magnificent. And this is the problem with the world right now, is no recognition of that. So it's not egotistic to see or to be as you already are and always have been and always will be. Magnificent. And I always say, I don't know what God is. I don't know how to. I only know that I am. And that all beings are in that presence of I am. The forest is, I am a forest. The water is, I am a river, I am a lake, I am the rain. It's presence. And the brighter your light shines out of your heart, the less you see God's creation right now, here and now, life, the cosmos, the solar system, eating breakfast, as problematic. The less you see it as problematic, the more, the truer your light is to yourself. You will see what you see in yourself and everyone. I read the passage, my own splendor, with the pincers. It means like, pincers mean like tweezers, something that can pluck, something that can take a thorn away, a splinter. And this is the only word I have to explain. There's no other word here that I need to explain. With the pincers of truth, I have plucked from the dark corners of my heart, the thorn of many judgments. Shall I read it again?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Everybody always wants it read again. I think it's important. With the pincers of truth, I have plucked from the dark corners of my heart the thorn of many judgments. Now, this is interesting because in this passage, he speaks about, what's this, what's this, what's this, what's this? But here at the beginning, he speaks about judgments, releasing himself from them. And he must feel that that's very important, because the rest he just dismisses. I'll show you. Are you going to be okay?
Yes.
Good.
I
yeah, I know you do. I'm wondering if you're okay. With the pincers of truth, I have plucked from the dark corners of my heart the thorn of many judgments. I sit in my own splendor. Wealth or pleasure, duty or discrimination, duality or non-duality, what are they to me? What is yesterday, tomorrow, or today? What is space or eternity? I sit in my own radiance. What is self or non-self? What is thinking or non-thinking? What is good? What is evil? I sit in my own splendor. Now, I have to go back because I didn't get the entire passage. I sit in my own radiance and I have no fear. Waking, dreaming, sleeping, what are they to me? Or even ecstasy, what is far or near, outside or inside, gross or subtle? I sit in my own splendor. Dissolving the thoughts or the highest meditation, the world and all its works, life or death, what are they to me? I sit in my own radiance. I'm going to inject something of my own words here. There's nothing more humble. But you got it upside down. These ideas that you see yourself as a magnificent, unique expression of God's will to be is egotistic. I don't get it. Ego means separation, isolation, identity. This is completely free of that. Why talk of wisdom, the three ends of life, or oneness? Why talk of these? Now I live in my heart. So Ashtavakra is going through all of the sadhanas that we take on, all of those incredible returnings, mastering sadhana. Sadhana means my way to myself that opens the vision of everyone and everything. And beyond, in silence. So Ashtavakra starts out, he says, I have plucked, let me see what he did say. Let's say it right. With the pincers of truth, I have plucked from the dark corners of my heart, the thorn of many judgments. Our Sangha has been reminded thousands of times, and let's go 1,000 times more. Whatever it takes to light, to ignite the light of non-judgment. He felt that that was very important. He dismissed everything else but judgment. And at the end, he says, now I live in my heart. And I sit in my own splendor. It's beautiful. Yes, it's beautiful. I sit in my own splendor. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Well, the reason we talk of dissolving thoughts and all of this, and it's very important. Ashtavakra is way beyond it. Why? Because he gave up judgment and he's sitting in his heart. He's living there, no other place. So all of the other qualities that we are consistently, I am consistently suggesting that you release. Judgment, identity with just me and my body and my personality, not the depth of the spirit that moves everything, your hands and time. I've given up judgment, he says. I plucked it from my heart. With the pincers, the tweezers. Truth itself has pulled that thorn away. Jesus said, "Do unto others as you want them to do unto you." And I would say, do unto yourself as you would want others to do unto you. I feel that there's a full circle there, not just. There could be a lifetime sadhana. Somebody's asking me for a new sadhana. Somebody says, can I have those tissues back? Thank you. Someone says, they want a new sadhana. I had told this person, raise your child. Now we want a new sadhana. Now, this is not the only person that's ever asked for a new sadhana. New sadhana has come all the time. What's the new sadhana? I would say, with the truth, pluck the thorn of judgment and sit in your own splendor. Your splendor is a splendor of God, is a splendor of the earth, is a splendor of creation, is a splendor of the day and the night, the waters. But as this is why we go through the free oneself of judgment, free oneself, just release. You don't have to do anything but release your ideas. Because when I say sit in your own splendor, there will be much talk about it. Oh, yeah, sure. A lot of mental activity. Maybe not in you. I know people because I know myself. You only know people once you know yourself. And then compassion comes because you've been there. And you've been silly and you've been arrogant and you've been foolish and you've been loving and you've been kind and you've been generous and you've been all of the things that come in a life. So compassion comes from knowing where someone is. Forgetting yourself a little bit. No? Yes? Sitting in one's own splendor. Realizing the magnificence of the undefinable, inexhaustible light of love called God. I can't, it's so hard to even attempt to put a word to whatever has brought all of this into being. It's incredible. It's beautiful. It's stunning. And if you want to find trouble with the world, you're going to find trouble. Whatever you want to find, you're going to find it. If you want to find beauty, you're going to find beauty. Where are you focused? And anytime that you're focused in a judgment, I'm not going to say what's true because it's not true. It seems true that whenever you're in a place of judgment on anyone for anything, and we do discern. Discernment is different than judgment. Judgment sticks. Discernment is ethereal and come and go. You will always see a thief for a thief, a saint for a saint. The saint was a thief. The thief will be a saint. So that's discernment. I think that you have done it completely incorrectly. You're so stupid. And then people find a glory. Oh, I feel so good. I have anchored myself in my judgment. But it really hurts. It really does. So when we have these ideas about others, splendor, you just don't go there. You just don't go there. It's egotistic. It's bullshit, you know? Oh, nonsense. That's nonsense. Sit in your own splendor for 5 minutes and see. If it's any of those things, and you will let everyone be as they are when you're irritated, and you will be irritated. But there's something in you that clicks and says this irritation is only momentary. I'm not going to hang in there. Because it hurts me and it hurts others and it's not true. You can't judge God and everything is God. The whole functioning of the universe . And I don't know what God is, and I don't know who God is. But because you are, it's enough for me to see that that is true. So Ashtavakra, great Ashtavakra, great eight-year-old. Well, he wasn't eight forever, was he? But that's one of his historical stories when he went to King Janak, you know, and became his master. So age had nothing to do with it. His ability, his physical ability had nothing to do with it. He was a wise, accepting being, sitting in his own splendor. This is something he wrote. And there, everything was obvious. Everything was obvious. You look at Kanigu Mountain, how splendorous it is. Where does that splendor come from? Your own eyes. Your own evaluation. It's your evaluation. Why you don't internalize this. And for 5 minutes a day, drop it all. And shine like the sun from your heart, whatever that means to you. It's poetic. It is meaningful. It's such a time. It's such an amazing time to wake up and let a lot of things pass. Let a lot of things pass. Or not. It's always up to you. Either you will or you won't. You can go sit on the beach there in Goa. And completely dissolve in beauty, radiance, the love of God, whatever name you may give. You will see things differently. It's always up to you. It's not up to anyone else. Now, that's a fact. No one can make you do anything. No one can push you to do anything. That brings me to another point. You were saying last week why we don't have more meditation. Osho had meditation. You know, in Maharaji's ashram, he never sat down with a group of people for meditation. He would sit on his front veranda and people would be quiet and meditate there, but he never put a program together of meditation. Maharaji taught me something very important. Well, he reminded me of what was really magnificent in the heart of every single being forever and ever, no matter what. Thank you, Maharaji. Maharaji would rarely come into the ashram during bhajan, maybe twice a year. He didn't sit there and sing with the people. And he didn't put together a meditation time. He never did. And I took it that Maharaji, at least this is why I don't go to the Gayatri Mantra. And this is why I don't set up meditation times. I put meditations on the website. There's several for you. Why does it always take others to move you? This is what I feel that Maharaji's message was in not setting up programs. When I was in his ashram, I could go over to the Chabutra, which is a platform, at any time and sit with the Ganges. It was up to me. You understand. You have had the training, huh? And it's been a wonderful training. But now it's up to you. And Maharaji told me, don't go to the Gayatri Mantra. Because they will all come when you're there, but they won't all come. That's not funny. They won't all come when you're not there. So you will see. If you want to see. If you don't want to see, you don't look at it. Maharaji told me, and I'm certain that this is true, when I first came to Maharaji, and there's been a very dark cloud around the Satcha Ashram because of people's activities and not realizing these simple facts. Maharaji told me, like within the first week of re-knowing him, he certainly said that we have known each other many lifetimes. I listen. I don't need to say yes or no. I just listen. And he said, this is the university, Shantimai, not kindergarten, not middle school, not high school. In my experience, that was certainly true. But I've never met my or heard my or known my master to say anything that didn't lead me to what is actual. This is self. Here we go with this word, trust. We trust. We trust that we don't trust, we trust that we trust. I trust that I don't trust some things, and I trust that I do trust others. So I never have to think about trusting. I'm always in a state of trusting because I trust everything to be whatever it is. Good, bad, Wonderful, not so wonderful. I trust that the universe is functioning. At least it seems to be. So sitting in one's own splendor, well, find out. If you want to. If you don't want to, you won't. And that's perfectly fine. If I didn't say it was perfectly fine, my heart would be aching. But it is perfectly fine, and my heart does not ache. And I'm going to remind you, that's what I'm here for, is to remind you and remind you and remind you and remind you and remind you. And if you don't want to be reminded, you're not here. And that's perfectly fine. If you're here, yes. If you're not here, yes. Huh? I'm very, what's the word? Elated for the presence of you. You come, you go, of course. Maharaji also said, you'll don't be attached, just love. Because love is the great detachment. So let's go through the Ashtavakra Gita once more, and I'm going to close. I'm not going to take anything, any questions today. Next week, let's say that we just set it up just for that, and there'll be no I will not speak. You speak, and we can have a wonderful conversation. But I feel it's dense today, don't you? There's a lot in it, huh? And I have a great faith. That's easy. Faith is yes. Faith is yes. I have a great faith in you and cosmic timing, which is not an excuse. We can use everything as an excuse. I have a great faith because I live there, and I know that you live there too. My deepest wish for you, thank you for injecting me with that, Maharaji, is that you always live in love, and then everything is resolved. And you still may have disagreements, and you still may have, well, you're going to have challenges. The spiritual path is like climbing a great mountain to the summit. And our vision becomes extraordinarily broad and unencumbered with our ideas of how it should be. So I read it one more time, and then I close. With the pincers of truth, I have plucked from the dark corners of my heart the thorn of many judgments. Pretty much did it for him. I sit in my own splendor. Wealth or pleasure, duty or discrimination, non-duality, nor duality, what what are they to me? What is yesterday, tomorrow, or today? What is space or eternity? I sit in my own splendor, my own radiance. What is self or not self? What is thinking or not thinking? What is good? What is evil? I sit in my own splendor. I sit in my own radiance, I have no fear. Waking, dreaming, sleeping, what are they to me? Or even ecstasy? What is far or near, outside or inside, gross or subtle? I sit in my own splendor. Dissolving the thoughts or the highest meditation, the world and all its works, life or death, what are they to me? I sit in my own radiance. Why talk of wisdom, the three ends of life, or oneness? Why talk of these? Now I live in my heart. Om Shri Satche Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Paramatma Ki Jai, Guru Dev Bhagwan Ki Jai, Satcha Sangha Ki Jai.
Thank you, Pradeep and Mutriba. And have a wonderful time in Goa.
Thank you.
Satsang today. We'll see you next week at 5:30 Central European time. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your day or evening or early morning, wherever you are on the planet. Namaste.
Namaste.